Good morning, once again, and I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 23 to verse 25. We shall continue our study on this wonderful book, The Abuse of Tongue in Worship Service. It's a very, very serious transgression. For to know the church, a person needs to attend the worship service, because in the worship service, they will have a very good estimation of what the entire church is like. And therefore, when they come into a church where there is great chaos, where people start to speak the word of God in foreign languages that nobody understands, and we are not talking about one or two or three, but multiple individuals, the reason not stated, but perhaps because of the nature of the gift of tongues, where the word of God is proclaimed in another language, the people perhaps want to show off, because these are some of the gifts that will thrust the person into the limelight. Just like prophecy, where the word of God is preached in the language of the congregation that the people understands. Tongues refers to preaching the word of God in another language, where no one in the congregation understands. But a number of them started to stand up and started to speak, and they wanted to have the platform. And so the Apostle Paul was very concerned and very troubled, and so he had to arrest this problem. Because the reason for our existence on this earth after salvation is not to have a good time. It is not to enjoy life. It is not to just simply guide your children and help them find their career. All these things are what unbelievers do. You are saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that means you are already fit for heaven. You already are a spiritual person, a child of God, a disciple of Christ, a servant of God. You can go to heaven at any time. That's why we as children of God have nothing to be afraid of. You don't have to be afraid of any disease, any bug, any walls or dangers, nothing to be afraid of, because you are here by the sovereign will and appointment of the immutable, omnipotent God Almighty. And there is no one more powerful than Him. And that means anything that occurs in your life has been permitted by Him. If He does not give permission, not even the devil himself, the God of this world, can touch us. Please understand how safe and how secure you are in Christ Jesus. Do not be depressed. Do not be afraid. Continue to trust in Him. The more you know Him through the study of God's Word, the better your relationship with Him would be, the easier it will be for you to trust Him. The less you know Him, the less you will trust Him, because it is so difficult to trust a stranger. But the more you know Him, the easier it is to trust Him. And so when you think of the Word of God, the Bible described the Word of God using the language of eating. The Bible is described as the milk and meat to a Christian. The milk doctrine will be the first doctrine that every one of us needs to believe in, and that is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are some of the doctrines that pertain to the milk doctrines that you can see in the book of Hebrews. Just let me highlight them to you. These are known as the milk doctrines. Hebrews 5, verse 11. You don't have to turn to it. Verse 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So the person who eats meat, who has strong meat, that means all the Bible doctrines that pertain to his spiritual growth, he knows them well. The Bible said he will have the ability, the senses, to be able to discern, to judge correctly what is good and what is evil in his life. And what are some of these milk doctrines? Verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, no longer laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands, and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. Now these are classified under the milk doctrines. And so God said, as a child of God, you must be able to know these milk doctrines so well that you are now ready to eat meat. The meat doctrines are portions of God's word that build up our faith, that helps us to be holy as Christians. So which level do you belong to? First, you must make sure of your salvation, and that's our consideration this morning, understanding before salvation. Because one of the most important tasks that God has entrusted to us after salvation while we are here on earth is to make sure that the Word of God can be understood, so that a person coming into our church may be able to find salvation first before they can mature into mature believers and start to eat and drink or eat the meat doctrines. And therefore, it is important that we do not do anything that may jeopardize a person's understanding of God's word. And that was Paul's concern. Because verses 23 to 25 of 1 Corinthians chapter 14 describe unlearned and unbelievers coming into the church in Corinth and also in our church. Are there unbelievers in our midst? I believe so. Are there those who are also known as the unlearned? I believe so. The unlearned will be those who have not been attending church, who do not know anything about the Word of God, and they are attending church for the first time. They've never experienced what's it like to open a hymn, because hymnals do not have pagination. Hymnals are according to hymn numbers. They have never seen this kind of book before. So they are unlearned, not that they do not know how to read, not that they do not have high IQ. They may be university graduates, they may be professors. It's just that they are unlearned in the things of God, in what Christianity stands for. And then there are those who are no longer unlearned. They have already understood, but they have yet to believe. That's the two groups of people that are mentioned here. If therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, first time or first exposure to the Christian faith, and then there are those who are unbelievers, not first time exposed to the Christian faith, they have been exposed to the Christian faith, they may know many things about the Christian faith, but they have not received Christ as Lord and as Savior yet. So therefore these two groups, there are no other third group, right? There are only two groups. Those who have not yet heard before, and those who have already heard but not received. And when they come to a church that is in chaos, where people speak the word of God in a foreign language that nobody understands, and so they come in, what will they say? What will they think? Well, the Apostle Paul concludes and said, well, will they not say that you are mad? Which is correct. You're crazy. What are these people doing? What are these so-called Christians doing? This is chaos. Why are they speaking the word of God in so many languages that nobody understands? What are they doing? That was what happened in the church in Corinth. Remember, the order of service that you and I are used to are passed down to us by our missionaries who came from the West, where they already have a developed Christian faith since the 16th century Reformation. And so when they came from the West to this part of the world, bringing with them the gospel message, they also brought with them hymns that have already been completed and composed. They brought with them the order of service as well. And so with every convert that they share the gospel with who accepted Christ, and when they come to church, the order of service had already been established from home in the West. And then they brought everything to us, all prepared, and we just simply come and they just teach us, telling us this is the way to worship. That's our experience. This is what everyone experienced in the Far East when the gospel first came. It came in a very complete package. But not so in the time of the first century. And this was in the first century, where everything was brand new. The church was started through 3,000 Jews at Pentecost. And they were told that you are now the people of God. No longer the nation of Israel, but they were all part of the nation of Israel. But you are no longer going to be part of the nation of Israel in your witness. And the reason was they rejected Christ. And then more were added to the church. Right up to Acts chapter 7, the church was made up of only Jewish believers. And therefore, whenever they gathered together to preach, it was in Hebrew or it was in Greek, because they spoke these two languages, especially the Jewish Christians. They have no problem. They do not need any translation of the Bible because they understood the Hebrew language. And then slowly as the church grew, the New Testament scripture was given. They don't need any translation to know what is the meaning of the inspired and preserved word of everlasting life. The church received the word of God directly from the perfect Bible because they understood Hebrew and they understood Greek. And then from Acts 8 onwards, because of persecution, God sent them now out to the Samaritans. And now you have half Jews, half Gentiles becoming believers. Now they also join the church, but because they also have Jewish background, they could understand Hebrew. So not a problem too. But then in Acts 10, God now sent Peter to the home of Cornelius and his family. And so now for the first time, Gentiles will also be brought into the church. And that's why in Acts chapter 11, immediately after the conversion of Cornelius and his family, some of the Jews were very concerned when Peter arrived in Jerusalem. They confronted him. "We heard that you went into a Gentile home. Did you do that? You're not supposed to do that as a national witness, because that was forbidden in the Old Testament. They have to keep their national witness pure and clean. And that's why they were given all those forbidden dietary laws, what they could eat, what they could not eat. And that was to keep them away from any marriage or business covenants. Because in those days, whenever they sign a covenant, they do not sign on paper like us. They concluded it by eating a meal. And these are the unclean animals that the Gentiles could eat, but the Jews could not eat. And therefore, they will be protected because no way could they conclude any business or marriage covenant with the Gentiles, which would dilute their national witness. And so God used Peter through the vision of the animals and all the reptiles, all you can eat now, and did it three times. God spoke to Peter, "What I have cleansed, no man can call unclean." And then with that testimony, the gospel will now be sent to all Gentiles and telling them, you can be a Christian and hold on to your culture. You don't have to become a Jew and adopt Jewish culture. As long as the culture that you adopt and live in does not contravene the Bible, you can be a good and holy Chinese Singaporean Christian. You can be a good and holy Japanese, Korean, African, European, whatever culture you come from, as long as your culture does not contravene the Bible, you can keep it as you reach out to your own people. You don't have to be a Jew. But it must come with understanding. So because of the spread of the gospel, what do you think will be the issue? The word of God from now onwards has to be translated. Otherwise, how are these Gentiles going to understand the word? Because they can't read Hebrew and Aramaic, they can't read Greek. So they have to have the word of God translated in order for them to be heard and understood and obeyed, to be saved, in other words. And then after salvation, have to mature. And so when they come to Gentile churches, they want to know who Christ is, because these are the unlearned. They have never heard of Christ before. They are here for the first time, for example. Never heard of Christ before. We all can appreciate that experience because we are not born in a Christian home, most of us who are first generation believers. And so we have never heard about anything about the scriptures. If you come from a Christian school, perhaps, but you will probably regard it as just a normal history book of man, until you're converted. And so when Gentiles come to churches, the church like Corinth, very similar to ours, a Gentile church, they were shocked. Paul was very, very concerned because they were speaking the word of God in many, many different languages just to show off. And there was great confusion. And what will happen to the witness of Christ? Because we are here on earth for one purpose, to be a witness for Christ. To sinners, witness to them so that they can find salvation. To brothers and sisters in Christ, witness to them to help them mature and become better believers. That's why we are here. There's no third option. You and I are not here to play the fool. You're not here to enjoy life. You're here to present the life of Christ to others. You're not here to enjoy life. Please understand this. Change your mindset and purpose. Then your life will be changed. Then a worship service will now take on the real, genuine, biblical, purposeful meaning. Worship of God is supposed to be the high point of our lives. It is the most important day of our week. It is the first day of our week. It is so important that we must be found in God's house for two purposes. One, to reflect back on the week that has just gone by, seeing the hand of God in our lives from Monday to Saturday. And then as we look forward to the new week, we plead to God for mercy and for discernment because we are going to be thrust into the world where Satan is God once again for the next 6 days. And that's why the church has provided between these first day and the sixth day, Monday to Saturday, many other spiritual activities such as prayer meeting, Bible study. Why? To help us. So that you will not have to wait until the Lord's Day for you to have Christian fellowship, for you to hear the Word of God. That's why we have in between the week, many of all these to help all of us to maintain our holy witness to sinners who are in need of Christ so that they can be delivered from the bondage of sin and the penalty which is death and hell. Please understand that the people in your life who are outside Christ, they are walking on thin ice. They're walking on paper thin ice. They could fall through at any time because the moment they die, it's done. We are living in a very dangerous world. During this week, I'm sure you heard of what happened in Barcelona. And in another part, they were there on vacation. People from many nationalities. They never experienced that this vacation will result in their demise, that they're going to die. They did not know that they were thinking of coming home after their wonderful time in Barcelona, because this is the time, according to the BBC reporter, the best time for tourists. Summer entering into what? Autumn, because the end of the year will be winter. Cool and nice, long day light. They can walk and stroll and enjoy the beautiful scenery all over Europe. Best time. But also best time for nasty people to do terrible things. Please do not presume that you are young and therefore you have your whole life ahead of you. You and I, who are Christians, should know better. You have family members and loved ones and colleagues, friends that you go to school with. Do not presume that every week will be the same, every day will be the same. Our leaders have already prepared us psychologically. It's not a matter of if, a matter of when. Such terrible things will happen to us in Singapore. That's why we keep on praying for God's mercy to preserve this island, to grant to us peace, that we may take advantage of the peace to promote God's kingdom, to worship together and to study God's word. Because we know that at any time, it can be taken away from us the way that we witness how this kind of peace has been taken away from many Americans and Europeans and other countries as well. They do not have the kind of peace that they once enjoyed since 9/11 with the bombing of 3,000 people more who died in the Twin Tower of the World Trade Center in America. And then since that fateful day, things have never been the same. And it's not going to be the same. It's going to get from bad to worse. It will culminate in the Antichrist. That's why there is an urgency that you and I make sure that we hold dear the day of worship. Because of all the activities that you do on earth, do you know that worship is the only earthly activity that you will continue to do in heaven? Do you realize that? Worshipping the one living and true God will be our eternal joyful experience. Praising and thanking Him forever and ever for all that He has done for us in heaven. That's why worship with God's people on earth is the high point of every week. And parents must realize this and impart this realization to your children. And so when we come for worship, it cannot be chaotic. It has to be orderly, because there are unlearned and unbelievers who need to experience and see what's it like when Christians come together as a family of God, all washed by the blood of Christ. Sure, we have wolves in sheep's clothing. Sure, we have messengers of light, people who will infiltrate and who will try to destroy our witness and our unity. We have seen that. We have experienced that in the past. They will try to undermine our trust in God's word. They will attack God's word. And they will sow seeds of discord by whispering here, whispering there, so much so that when two brothers and two good friends have now become enemies because of their gossip. That's why God said, let these people be punished, because what they have done is an abomination to God. And God made that plain and clear in His word. God is aware of these characters who are inside the church, never truly born again, only come in to undermine. And that's why we have to preserve and protect the peace and the unity in the church. How much more so during worship, where all of us come together, where unlearned and unbelievers come, they can have an experience and know exactly what this church is like within a couple of hours. That's how important worship service is. And that's why you and I cannot be slothful. We control how many languages are to be spoken in the church. But there are many other ways to create chaos. If people who are unlearned and unbelievers come to our church, and they see us coming late, for example, how do you think that will impact them? They may not see us as mad because we control the language. They understand what we are saying. But they may not call us mad, but they may call us, you mean this is how you people worship your God? That you can just simply stroll in and come in at any time, and not just one or two, so many of you? Is this how you show disrespect to the one living and true God that you claim to worship? That you can't even keep your time punctually? That He has to wait for you? They come before 10:30. They made it a point because they probably either come alone or with their friends or family members. And they see, they watch. And then when you use your phone as your Bible, and then they see you playing computer games or reading some WhatsApp or email that just simply pop up, you think they will not be stumbled? You mean these are the Christians? That's how they worship God, so easily distracted? Are they really, really sincere and genuine in worship with God? Because they will compare. When they are talking to the prime minister, or even if they are young boys and young girls, they talk to their parents, and the parents will rebuke them when they do that. And now these are so-called God's children, and they will do that? Please, let us all behave ourselves in worship. Let us make a promise to God with our Heavenly Father that we will take worship service seriously, especially for parents, especially for those who are in the golden years and senior adults and adults, because you have so many young people looking up to you. These are your spiritual children. They look up to you. Sunday school children look up to you. How you behave, how you conduct, they can either use you as an excuse to also follow in your sinful footsteps, or they can use you as an encouragement to continue to live a holy life in the face of adversities. It's your decision. It's your life. It's your accountability before God Almighty. And that's why Paul was very concerned When they abuse the worship service, the people will come in and say that you are mad. But if your worship service is orderly, if your worship service is proper and the word of God is preached properly, look at verse 24, but if all prophesy, if the word of God is preached or taught in the language that the people understood, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, the same kind of people, first time coming to church, or those who have been coming and have yet to believe, he is convinced, he is convicted of all. Everyone who comes in will be convicted. If they are not believers, he is judge of all. He will be convicted in his heart. And he will see how you and I live as truly born-again believers in Christ. Because the life of a Christian is a wonderful life, a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of unity that the world cannot find. You can find in every church that is sound and biblical. The kind of unity that we have. You know how to have a united church, right? When all of us have the mind of Christ. You know why the world is disunited outside? Because everyone has a mind of their own, where everyone will do what is right in their own eyes. In a church that is sound and godly, where it is truly made up of born-again believers who truly know Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. We all have been given the mind of Christ. You want to promote Christ. I want to promote Christ. You want to obey the Bible. I want to obey the Bible. That's how we experience unity. Out in the world, there's no unity because everyone has a mind of their own. And that's why you see in our country, in all the countries of the world, everyone will do what is right in their own eyes because they are not born again. They all do not have the mind of Christ. And that's why everybody wants to promote self. But inside the church, we all want to promote Christ, do you not? If you're truly born again in Christ, the Bible says the Spirit of God in us will continue to compel us to decrease, whereby Christ will increase. And the more I study the Bible, the development of the mind of Christ in me will cause me to change in my desires, because now my desires will be Christ's desires. The less I study the Word, the harder it will be for me to change my desires, because the desires still belong to the old man. And that's why our witness for Christ will be jeopardized, will be diminished, will be affected. And that's why when people look at our lives, they can hardly see the true, sharp, bright, clear image of Christ. They see a very blur image because we do not live a life of holiness with the proper understanding of God's word. And therefore, it is so hard for the unlearned and the unbelievers, as they judge us, as they evaluate us, to be convicted and to be converted. And that must not be, because that's why we are here, to be a witness to sinners that they might know the Savior, and to be a witness to brothers and sisters in Christ that they can be better believers. What greater privilege that you and I could ever receive from God, that your life can impact a sinner and help him find deliverance from the bondage of sin, so that the penalty of sin, which is death and hell, can be eternally removed from him. This morning in the Mandarin service, I reminded them of the reason why they are here. Do you know the reason why you are here? If you are the only believer in your family, before you were a believer or you came to know Christ, remember the kingdom of heaven is far away from everyone in your home. They can't even see the kingdom of heaven. But the moment you became a Christian, now not only can they see the kingdom of heaven, they can now enter the kingdom of heaven. Because every time you share the gospel, you are now presenting them before the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. All they needed to do is to believe, and they will walk in. True? And whenever they look at your life of holiness, your life that is lived according to the Bible, they are seeing a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And that is characterized by holiness, which is what you find in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. That's how precious and important your life is on this earth. That's why God has not taken you home. And when we fail to do that, we fail God and we fail our families. We fail our friends. If you go to work and you're the only truly born-again believer, don't care about the charismatic. They make your life more difficult. because they are going to live a life of Christianity that is completely carnal. And they will confuse the people who are unlearned and unbelievers. But that makes it even more urgent and important for you to let them see the life of a true Christian, to let them see the true light and the true salt of this earth. And you are just like that first believer in the home, if you are the only believer in the office. Before you came, everyone in the office can't even see the kingdom of heaven until you arrive. And just like the first believer in the home, you can be exactly the same to everyone in your office, your colleagues. That's why it is so important that you do not join a company without much prayer. So that when you go there, you are there on a spiritual mission and purpose to bring all these new colleagues of yours in this new company that you have just joined and bring them before the entrance into the kingdom of heaven by giving them the gospel. And let them see the holiness in your life so that they can have a glimpse into the kingdom of heaven, what the citizens of heaven are like. That's what you are here. That's what witness is out in the world. Sure, there will be casualty. There will be people who will try to switch off that light. They will try to hammer you because the God of this world, Satan, will hate you more than ever before. But you must hold on and don't let him succeed. Sure, there will be some who are weaker who will come and injured, broken, discouraged, disheartened. And that's what the church is supposed to be. Their home, away from their home in heaven, where brothers and sisters in Christ can empathize with them. Because as you are more mature in age and in spiritual experience, you can comfort them because you can testify and share with them how you have also gone through the same. And how God has led you and helped you overcome. And you can encourage them and give them the word of God to help them. That was what my older sister did for me when I first came to know Christ. I shared with you all before. She gave me the wonderful verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13. And I will never forget that experience. She helped me overcome my fear and my confusion by giving me the word of God. And she had gone through it. She told me she had gone through it. And now she shared it with me. But the Lord took her home when she was only 29 years old, very young, in Paris, all alone. God has a purpose. She was the first one to believe in our family, and therefore she was the first one to bring us before the entrance into the kingdom of heaven. And then when I came to know Christ, she helped me to grow as a newborn babe in Christ. When I was around 23, 24 years old. She helped me. We all need help. All of us do. And that's why you and I are here. And that's why worship service, the way we worship, the manner we worship must be Christ-honoring. Must be very carefully guarded. And that is why when you come to worship late, sure, once in a while you may come late because of certain emergencies. We understand. But not all the time. Please, for the sake of Christ, not all the time. Change your life. Sleep early on Saturday, live a holy life Monday to Saturday, and then take whatever precautions to come on time for worship. And then when you are here for worship, give God full concentration. If there's any of these electronic gadgets can be a distraction, then turn them off. Use the Bible. Use this good old book, the Bible, to help you do whatever it takes to worship the one living and true God. Because there are unbelievers and the unlearned in our midst. Please understand that. You are still witnessing as we worship to let them see and experience how wonderful it is to live amongst the children of God. Just like a stranger entering into your home. And if your home is godly, if your home is peaceful, if your home is Christ-centered, many of these people who come to your home, who come from broken homes, who come from non-Christian homes, they are going to experience something that they have never seen before. Children respecting mom and dad. Husbands and wife are always loving one another. Hardly do you hear them having a quarrel, and they will be amazed. Many of the things that you see in your own home, because your parents are Christians, don't take them for granted. Because what you have, the world out there in many unbelievers' home, they do not have. The father works, the mother works. What do you think happens? They quarrel to no end. They do not have Christ. They don't have the mind of Christ. They still do what is right in their own eyes. And that's why they will quarrel. And as children living in that kind of house, what do you think will happen? They are going to be very, very troubled. And then when they come into your house to stay for a few days because of their friends with your children, you let them stay and they see how different you are. It's the same when they come to church. We are God's children, God's family, and they come out in the world, great chaos and disunity. When you come because of Christ, the peace, the joy, the genuine transparency and sincerity in our lives, no hidden agenda, true, genuinely born-again believers. Will there be wolves in sheep's clothing, messengers of light that Satan will plant the tares that God wants us of? Sure. But they are allowed by God, permitted by God, to keep us on our toes, to help us to pray without ceasing, never to lean on ourselves, but always upon God. And when these people see how wonderful Christ is, conclusion, verse 25, for thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. He will be convicted by the word of God as he sees around us how wonderful we are, testifying for Christ in unity, in humility, in sincerity. And these people, their secrets of their hearts will be manifest by the word of God. And then they will fall down on their face. And then they will worship God. And then they will report, they will declare that God is in you of a truth. That truly, in this church, there is the one living and true God. How do they know? They've seen it. They have tasted it. They have experienced it in their own lives because they came to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. And their own lives have been transformed by it. And it's all because they come into the church in Corinth. And they heard the word of God. And they have seen the impact of the word of God in the lives of the Christians in Corinth. And this was the outcome. They will report, they will declare out loud how wonderful this church is because God is in the midst of this church. Isn't that a wonderful, wonderful purpose for living? Can you think of any other purpose on this earth that can trump this, that can be better than this? None. None whatsoever. Isn't that true? Your life and my life can turn a sinner heading toward hell and turn his direction toward heaven. And it's all because of the wonderful work of salvation that God has wrought in your heart. Please don't ever forget this. And you can help a like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ who is struggling. And because of your patience and your long-suffering and your compassion toward them, they are now better believers because of you, because of your service, because of your faithfulness. Isn't that what the abundant life is all about? That your life can impact so many people's lives for Christ, for eternity, for eternity. And I hope this is what you want, this is what you desire, and this is what you pray to God for. Because that is what God wants us to do as his children. After he saved us, he did not take us home. He allowed us to remain on earth for this. Witness to sinners, the unlearned and the unbelievers, that they may know Christ and witness to brothers and sisters in Christ. And the next message from verse 26 onwards will be that, how to worship God properly. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, help us, O Lord, to be grateful and to be thankful for all that you have blessed us with, for in spite of our transgression, our slothfulness, our waywardness, you have been so patient and so long-suffering in dealing with all of us. For we know that you could have taken all of us, any one of us, home, and we will no longer be permitted to serve thee and witness for thee anymore on this earth at any time, just as you did to Ananias and Sapphira, who sinned against thee in worship. Help us therefore, O Lord, to be grateful, to be thankful, and no longer to tempt thee, but to be grateful to live a life of holiness because we have truly experienced your patience
and your long-suffering in our lives. For you have not rewarded us according to our iniquities and transgressions, but in your grace and your mercies, you have forgiven us. You have drawn us back unto yourself through the convicting power of thy own Holy Spirit through the word of everlasting life. We pray, O Lord, that this morning, that every worshipper's heart may be convicted by thy truth. For those who are outside Christ, help them to delay no longer, for they have heard the gospel, and yet, sadly, tragically, they remain unbelievers. May thy Holy Spirit bring conviction, O Lord, that this person will no longer stand in front of the gate of heaven, for the person has been standing there for so long. Let this person enter in by faith, believing that truly Jesus Christ has died for his or her sin and rose from the dead for his or her justification. Let this person experience the power of salvation in Christ Jesus. Help all of us who are your children to live a life of holiness, and may our lives bring blessing to brothers and sisters in Christ, to help them become more mature and better believers by spending time with them in fellowship and by encouraging them and by serving thee and serving them through the many spiritual gifts that you have given to us. And we pray, Lord, that you will protect and keep this church united in Christ Jesus. For Jesus' sake, hear us, so that anyone who come, unlearned and unbelievers, may hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and find salvation in him. And all those who come into this church as believers, that they may find in this church a place where they can grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ through the study of thy holy word and through the encouragement that they can have with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ, that together we may all one day hear thee say to us, well done, and welcome home, all of us in this church who are my faithful disciples. Be with us, O Lord, that we may from henceforth truly live for our Savior. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.